Hi, this is John Delancey, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hi, this is Adam Mastriani, and you're listening to Altered Geek.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into geekdom is TFG1 Mike.
Hello, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, yes, and it's halfway through January. First episode of 2024.
That's right, 2024 will be altered in more ways than one, ladies and gentlemen.
Tis true. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, with that being said, we've just completed another milestone, top 100.
The eighth top 100 countdown in the GCRN's almost 15-year history. We just finished the top 100 toys countdown.
I know, and it's crazy every time we do one of those, just seeing what wins. And some of the lists, I will say, some of the top 100 countdowns, I'm not surprised by what ends up in the top five in most cases.
Yeah.
Transformers pretty much every time hits somewhere in the top 10. People are going to be surprised by this recent top 100. I know some of the numbers I was surprised where things fell.
I could just hear your disappointment. So when we recorded the recap, we released the recap a couple of weeks ago, folks, by the time this airs. And I could just hear the disappointment in your voice when when Kevin was like, yeah, the PC was like 230th. It didn't even make the list.
I'm like, you know what, though? I can do everything on those game systems on my PC.
That's right.
And it doesn't cost me extra.
That's right.
And I don't have to upgrade to play it. Yeah, so it was an entertaining time doing that. I'll be interested to visit some other top 100s, though, in the near future, or, you know, maybe do some top 50s and kind of break them up, do the mega one every other year and do like a top 50 or something every year, you know, that we're not doing a top 100 or something. I don't know. But yeah, I have ideas, but again, some of my favorite top 100s were the animated series.
Oh, yeah, we will get back to
the Transformers.
Yeah, well, Transformers, we ain't touching again until probably the 50th anniversary of the brand, because we just did that.
Yeah, I don't have any ambition to do that again.
No!
I almost feel like it would be better to do, like, top 100, you know, Star Trek or whatever, and then, know, the ships and the, you know, or the technology or the characters all kind of fluctuate into that, you know, instead of just doing characters, because while I could come up with 100 characters of Star Trek, some of them might be lesser known, and people may not know who they are or care.
Yeah.
I could come up with a solid list of probably 60. Now, with all of the different Trek series that are out now at this point, I feel like you could hit a top 100, but you would be basically doing a favorites list and breaking down your least favorite characters from each one of the shows to culminate in a top 100 list. Because there's so many different Trek shows now at this point.
So it's funny you mentioned that, because Optimus Solo is doing his own video series on his Geek Showcase channel over on YouTube, and he just released an episode where he's counting, ranking the crew of Next Generation, 14 main crew members, and he...
Yeah, I could probably name them all, too. Because there's seven core cast members, and then there's a fluctuation on the rest of them, the other seven. And what's sad is I could probably name them without looking them up at this point.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know,
TNG is like my favorite Trek series, hands down, out of all of them. Although I do enjoy some of the other ones, depending. But yeah, so what has been new with you before we get into our topic of the nostalgia memories of Yes. Stores gone by.
Yes. Well, I did some of my own math or whatever you want to call it at the end of last year. In total, counting up every episode that was released, whether I was on it or not, it doesn't matter. Every podcast episode we released in 2023, as a network, GCRN released 153 podcast episodes in 2023. That's between.
Can you tell if that's a record high or a record low?
I don't know, because I would have to go back through every year, and I'm not Optimus Solo. I don't want to do all that math. Thank you. That's
between. I do remember, like, years ago, like I used to. Huh? I was telling somebody. I said, and it's kind of funny of days gone by, reminiscing. I remember recording 2 to 3 nights a week. And having us record sometimes 2 to 4 episodes of, you know, on any given day.
Night, yeah. And now
and 15 it was years, nuts.
Yeah, and now 15 years later, we're both so old that we can barely record one podcast in one night
a week. Like, all right, time for bed.
Get off my lawn. Let me go to bed already. I need to take my pills.
Mean, you're in your 40s, and I'm pushing it.
Ah, dude, don't. Christ, yeah.
When we started this, we were in, you know, I was in my 20s.
I was still in my 20s. I was 28 at the time.
So. Yeah. I must have been 19 or something.
Well, when we started the network officially in 2009, so that would have been 86 to 2006.
My brain's not working.
Yeah, my brain's not working.
This is what happens when math is involved.
Yeah.
We don't do math.
Math? What's that? Here, hold on. 2009. You were 23, I was 28, because we're 5 years apart.
Oof.
Yeah. So between all of that, between 153 episodes, between Altered Geek, All Things Transformers, Cinema Geeks, Geekcast Radio, The Pullbag, Studio 2009, even TFG1... Toycast and Podcaster Meets World. All 153 episodes that range from all of those different shows. Speaking of TFG1 and plans, because this is the 40th anniversary of Transformers, and we just finished the top 100 toys countdown, I'm like, ooh, smaller. Think smaller, but use the cartoon. So, later this year, big way to bring back the TFG1 podcast. Everybody gets their own individual episode where they list their own top 10 favorite Generation 1 episodes.
Oh, do we have to? Oh, wait. There's, like, what, 96 episodes?
98 episodes,
98. I knew it was closer in the ballpark.
And,
I can easily find 10 that I enjoy out of the series. Oh, yeah. Like, I could probably do a top 25. Beyond that, I find that there might be episodes I'm like, I could pass.
That's why I'm limiting it to 10, because that way it makes you really choose the ones that are your most favorites, and usually in Generation 1, we all know our most favorites, and we could easily list them. Again, easy peasy lemon squeezy, and then after we get all that done for the 40th anniversary of the brand, we're gonna do it for Beast Wars and Beast Machines, same
thing.
Oh,
heck yeah.
10 episodes each. So,
and then I'm going to have, you know, my beasts sitting on my desk while I, not in my cabinet, looking back at me in a, you know,
creepy way. Stare.
Yeah, they're all dead eye staring me right now. Also, the fact I have like 8 Megatrons in my cabinet. And I have that too. My youngest found that when I was putting, because I, for those that don't know, I just got a new to me cabinet that we refinished and put it in my office, and I'll post pictures on social soon. But yeah, we got it at like a restore thing, and then like Habitat for Humanity restore. It was like $75 or something. And the funny thing was, it had no shelves in it. They were supposed to have glass shelves, but the thing is, the two shelves it came with were, they didn't go to this, clearly.
Yeah.
And they didn't go all the way across. And so I called some different glass places, and there was one locally that they're like, I had the measurements. I'm like, this is what I need. I need it to do this. And they're like, they're like, are, what are you putting on it in this China cabinet thing? And I was like, well, I'm just putting collectibles and, you know, nothing insanely heavy. And they're like, okay, this will hold up. And I said, it's got, you know, rails that go all the way across from one end to the other on both sides and holding it up. And he says, oh, you'll be fine. And so I bought these things for like $50 and then threw them in there. And then I upgraded the LEDs or the light that was in it with LEDs. And then I proceeded to move everything out of my old hutches for my desk that were sitting on it and move it into there after I put like a backdrop wallpaper thing in it. And yeah, this thing is like decked out. I got all of my Beast Wars on the bottom shelf because I have so many of them, I was afraid of the weight on the glass. So there's the bottom shelf is wood. Because it's the bottom of the cabinet. So I was like, well, as much as I would prefer to put them higher up, I'm putting them on the wood. Because then I know that nothing is going to come crashing down. And so the next shelves up, I put above them, because I have Predacons on one side and I have Maximals on the other of the cabinet. And you can clearly see them, which is nice, because in the previous cabinet, they were so smothered together that you could barely see anybody.
Right.
And then above that, I have like my stasis pod that I printed. And then I have my Autobots and Decepticons. And then I have my Star Trek side of things with Star Trek figures that I've had forever or regained, as well as different starships that are on display stands in there. And the different badges for, you know, the uniforms. And then the next shelf up, I have some Lego stuff, some Hot Wheels, model kit of my old truck, and then like some hockey pucks, and then stuff my kid made, like vehicles that he painted and put in there. And then I have some Power Rangers figures on that. And I'm still waiting on a few figures that, and a Megazord. And hopefully the Master Morpher, and then I easily could get down the rabbit hole that I got down with Transformers, but I'm like, I need to stick with Tommy Oliver. And then, like, I like Adam from MMPR.
So I
like his character, so, like, I made an exception for him, kind of like I did with, like, Primal and Megatron and Rat Trap. Like, Rat Trap's kind of that outlier that's not of the norm, so I've done that with the Rangers, and then I liked the like Jason Lee Scott in the show, and so there's a Red Ranger coming that has like the Green Ranger armor, because the way Hasbro did it was kind of slimy. They're like, oh, you have to buy this one to get this one, and I'm like, well, I'm not spending the amount of one figure to get one figure, I'll get two.
Yeah.
So I've got him, and then in the Gold Ranger, and then I'm just, like I said, I'm waiting on a, it's like a knockoff Megazord, but it's shorter. I was like, I'm thinking about shelf space, I'm thinking about quality, and Hasbro has none of those things. like, Hasbro bought the brand, and while I do like their proportions and designs of the Power Ranger figures, the compared to Bandai, where they're all like beefed out, muscular, you know, and I like the Bandai Megazords better, but one, they're difficult to find. Two, they're huge. I've narrowed it down to, I only want the original Dino Megazord. Yes, I would like the Dragon Zord or the Tiger Zord, but I'm like, I don't. Like, the main one that resonates with me is the Dino Megazord, the original. And so Hasbro has, like, a $40 version it's, like, cheap plastic, very cheap paint job, very minimal of anything on it. It's not terrible quality, and people are like, it's a great stand-in. And to me, that was like, okay, that's tells me everything I need to know, like, about it. Like, yeah, I could paint it, but it's like, do I want to put that effort in? And then they have like the Lightning Collection version, which is like $160. BBTS has it for like $95 or something now. And then I was watching a ton of reviews from various people that collect, you know, that or collect Transformers. And, you know, they do comparisons of the stuff. And they're like, for the price, they're like, it feels kind of cheap. And they're like, and then I was watching that the pterodactyl chess piece would constantly pop off. And then they were having problems with the Tyrannosaurus, like the arms bending in a certain way. So they could pop that on. And I was like, yeah, that's a no. And so I found a knockoff one, and because also the Lightning Collection one's like 12, it's like a foot tall, and their cheaper version is like 9 inches tall. The knockoff one is like 7, and I'm like, okay, so he's slightly taller than the Lightning Collection figures.
Yeah.
And they're all, you know, you get all the separate pieces and then they combine, and then it's, I mean, it comes with some extra crap too, but it's got the full paint job. It looks just like the actual show, and I don't have to do anything with it. And it's a smaller scale. And I was like, okay, so that one wins out for me. So I'm just waiting on that to eventually show up. And then of course the Morpher, but yeah, then after that, like, my cabinet looks pretty complete unless like some Hasbro comes out with some magical Megatron figure.
cloak
cloak, or like if they came out with a reimagined or like a updated version of the Transmetal dinosaur,
yeah,
I would probably do that as well.
Yeah,
because that was my favorite.
It's at this point, it's either, because we, even though the head was screwed up, we have the Transmetal Megatron, we have the purple T-Rex. For me, it's either the cloak or the giant head.
I'm personally hoping for the cloak.
I know, but I also want them to make the giant head, because I think that would be hilarious.
I think it would be funny if they made one. And it, you know, it turned to the head, but turned to the ship, but also turned to a robot. Like a triple changer. And they did have one in the plans way back when, but because Beast Machines bombed so hard, they canceled the idea. Because Aaron Archer was on Proto Man's podcast at one point and said something about it. And yeah, because it bombed so hard, they were like, yeah, it was going to be like a Supreme class, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I feel like if they did it today, it would scale with the Ark and the Nemesis.
Oh, yeah.
Which would be hilarious. I'd have no room in my cabinet. He would have to sit on top of my cabinet.
I mean, as long as you leave him in head mode, that's really what you where you want him to sit, right? I mean,
yeah, I mean, as long as I could wear it, you know, I mean.
No, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, it's a whole I would love a Transmetal. Shoot, I'd settle for regular Beast Megatron, like a
helmet,
a head helmet. Yeah, I've seen them. I know they exist, but they're not like totally on there. Like, I've seen cosplayers do it and do the costume justice, and I'm like, holy crap! I'm like, I love that, but like, I cannot afford that.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah. So that's what I've been doing, is the cabinet stuff, and then like kind of having fun displaying it. So I'll post photos of that at some point in the near future.
Very cool, very cool.
Cheerscast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. Slide up to the bar alongside Ryan Daly and a rotating cast of guest hosts as they celebrate the long-running, award-winning television series, one hilarious episode at a time. New episodes of Cheerscast drop every Thursday, part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Well, the Mark Room 42's Universe podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Mark Room 42's Universe podcast from the universe and beyond.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car, car.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
All right, so somebody on Facebook shared this, and I saw it, and I said, ooh, we should talk about this, because we haven't talked about this in a while. This is coming from the Facebook page, We Love the 1990s, some popular stores from back in the day. Holy crap, the 90s was 30 years ago.
That's it's 20...
Yeah, I know, right? It's 29 images. We're going to go through the ones we know. We're going to skip the ones we don't know. And there aren't a lot on here that I don't know, but there are two or three. So first up, Blockbuster. Boy.
Oh, I remember that place, but that's because my wife used to work there. I used to work Little Caesars when she worked there, and then I would go down there with pizza. Because we would close first. On some, yeah, at least, depending on the time of year, if it was, like, summer, we closed about the same time.
Right.
But if it was, like, or no, if it was winter, we closed about the same time. If it was summer, we closed early, so I would just go down there and hang out, and I would bring food, and the manager and my wife were extremely happy, and then we would rent movies, and they were great, because if you worked there, you got movies, like, 2 to 3 weeks before the public got them. So you'd basically be able to review movies that came out or watch them, or if you knew how to duplicate them. But you got up to five a week, or you could also rent a game.
Oh, cool. That's awesome.
But yeah, she got like five free rentals a week, and so we would just go in there, and I would rent, you know, we'd get all the new movies that we wanted, and I kind of kept track. I was like, all right, this one should be coming out about this time. And then she'd be like, all right, I got it.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Blockbuster was always fun. And it always seemed to be more elite than every other regular, like, mom and pop video store because, you have to have a card. You have to do this. You have to do that, which is fine. I mean, and then most video rental stores ended up having rewards cards at some point or another. But Blockbuster was a different, like, I'm going to Blockbuster tonight and rent a movie or rent a game or whatever kind of thing. It was always fun. It's always a good time.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yep. Up next, we have still available in Canada. Sadly, you can only go to a corner of a Macy's store to find it here in the States. But that good old dumbass giant giraffe Jeffrey and Toys R Us.
Yeah, I remember those. I remember going to them in Michigan. There was one, and it was on Mary's parents' side of town, and they used to have, I forget what that other place was called, that toy store that was around the same time that got put out of business.
Maybe.
No, it was like Kids Castle or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, they used to be there, and then Toys R Us took it over, the location. But... Yeah, I remember going to Toys R Us, and I always loved walking in and looking at everything. I never bought anything.
Yeah.
Because they were so high-priced.
Yep.
Like, they always had, like, a surcharge just because it was like, it's Toys R Us, you're going to pay more. Mm-hmm. And but they had this selection that nobody else had.
Oh, yeah.
I remember going in there and seeing Masterpiece Transformers. I remember seeing, like... the fully stocked shelves of everything, you know, seeing, I remember the Power Ranger Legacy stuff that was out from Bandai. Cause I was like, even back then, like I was like, I want the Morpher. I want the Megazord. Mm-hmm. I don't have the money. And now I'm in the same boat, except, you know, it's more so it's not available.
Yeah.
It's sold out, or it's, you know, it's gone of certain things. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I remember the pricing, and it's funny because, you know, adjusting for inflation, that stuff costs way more now.
Oh yeah.
But back then I was like, I work at Little Caesars, I can't afford it. But I remember going in there and just loving the arsenal of different stuff. Like, they had an entire board game aisle. I remember buying stuff down that. I remember going down the toy aisle. They had a ton of Lego. Just, it was a lot of fun to go in, yep, at least a window shop, and kind of be like, I wish I could get this. I wish I could get this, you know.
I think my favorite part, once they finally, like, created the area for it, was the R Zone, the video game section.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
That I liked that area too, yeah, back when I was like a console gamer.
Yep. But yeah, Toys R Us, it was just a part of the zeitgeist in the 80s and 90s and all that and everything else. And it was just so fun. And it's just sad to see those stores. Like, no, to my knowledge, and I could be wrong, so audience, correct me if I'm wrong, nobody's really doing anything with those stores. Like, the buildings themselves, like, every time I think of a Toys R Us or see a Toys R Us or whatever, I'm like, oh, it's just an empty building. Dang, there's so many things you could do with an empty building like that. We could build our own podcast empire inside of Toys R Us. And then we have the Warner Brothers Studio Store, and I'm going to lump in the Disney Store with this as well, just to get them both out of the way, because both of these stores, it's Disney versus Warner, and you want to talk about expensive then and overpriced now? Oh my God. The stuff that the Warner Brothers and Disney stores had back then was amazing, but it was way too damn expensive.
I do not remember these stores.
Really? Oh, no.
Yeah.
It was... Yeah,
I never... I think if I did see one, it was maybe once, but I don't recall seeing a WB store. I remember the Disney store.
Yeah, the Warner Brothers store was fun because you actually... All as I remember, and I'm sure I'll insert it in here somewhere, but all as I remember is the old 1-900 number commercial with Bugs and Daffy right before Batman 89. You need a Warner Brothers ball cap. You can't watch a Warner Brothers movie without a Warner Brothers ball cap. Well, what if they called and got the catalog or whatever? So, but yeah, the Warner Brothers store was awesome because it was one place you could go where every piece of Looney Tunes and other, but mainly Looney Tunes back then, merchandise was. It was so awesome. And the Disney store, I believe they still have Disney stores now. I could be wrong again. I'm
They're
sorry.
They're just few and far between, I think,
yeah,
now.
Yeah. KB Toys. KB was... I don't know. It felt like the Kmart of toy stores. It really did.
Yeah, KB Toys... I liked it. But didn't.
Yeah.
It felt cheap. I remember there was a particular time I went to a KB Toys and they had Generation 2 Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was bummed because they had an entire stockpile. And I didn't have my money.
Oh, dang.
And my parents were like, yeah, sorry about your bad luck. So, I didn't get any of them. I went back the next week with my dad, because my parents were separated and everything, and the G2 stuff was completely gone. I was so ticked. I do remember, though, they had an exclusive line. I mean, they had some stores that had exclusives. KB Toys was one of them, and Toys R Us was the other. Nobody else really had exclusives, which was nice. But the problem too, like, yeah, I mean, neither here nor there, but I remember having the option of Machine Wars figures and the G2 Cyberjets, which were some of the exclusives I remember getting there. I also remember picking up occasionally like a video game that was on like clearance that everywhere else was expensive, but there it was like, eh, it's on the $10 bin.
Yeah, the $10 bin, man, just, I don't know, like, I'm sorry if I sound elitist here, folks, but don't blame me, I'm from Massachusetts, damn it. it's one of those things where, like you said about the castle thing, we had Child World up there, and I preferred Child World, which was a specific New England store. It was essentially Toys R Us, but it was slightly better kind of thing, at least in my personal opinion. So when Child World finally shut down, we had Toys R Us, and then there was KB. I never liked... KB wasn't as fun for me as it was for everybody else, because Toys R Us was the 80s and 90s staple. KB was like the... It's kind of like Men in Black. Old and busted, new hotness. Well, Toys R Us was still new hotness, but trust me, KB tried to be the new hotness, and I wasn't having it at all. I just did not care.
No, I get that.
All right. And then next up, we've got, did you ever go to the Discovery Store, the Discovery Channel? We're not going to talk about this too long, but the Discovery Channel store, I'm like, really? What are they selling?
I don't think I ever went to that.
Oh, me either. I do not remember that one.
I didn't even know that that was a thing.
Yeah, I knew it was a thing. I just don't ever, like, yeah, no. And like I said, folks, we're not going to cover all these 29 pictures because some of these stores, like we're saying now, like, I don't know. And then the evil stepchild of Blockbuster Video, Hollywood Video, because you got to go to Hollywood to get your videos, folks.
You know what's funny about Hollywood Video?
Used to work there at one point or another?
No. Oh. They used to open up all over the place. They were better than Blockbuster, but they still went out of business first.
Yep.
And when they did, Mary and I went and we shopped. Yeah, I got so many movies. I think there was one time we both were walking around with a stack of like 25 when we went in there one time.
Ow.
I don't know. We spent well over $100 in movies. And that was because they were like 75% off and they were like store closing. Mm-hmm. And so we were like, free, you know, like practically free movies. And we were carrying them around for so long. People thought we worked there. That we were stocking the shelves. And we're like, no. We're buying these.
Yeah,
and
they're we're like, buying these. Yes.
Oh. And it was like, yeah. They were like, you guys are crazy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, we just like movies.
Yep. Best memory for me at a Hollywood Video was in the year 2000. I found out that there was going to be a certain animated film put out, and they used a certain song, and I'm like, what? And it was only ever used in the trailer. It's not actually in the movie anywhere. It's not on the sound. I'm a diehard fan of this movie. You know it. I know it. We celebrated 20 years of it a few years ago over on Studio 2009. Titan AE. When that trailer came up on the Hollywood Video screen and I heard Creed's High, I'm like, wait, what? What's Higher doing in a trailer? Huh? Matt Damon, Drew Barrymore, Bill Pullman. Holy crap. Tone Locust is an alien voice in it. Love that movie. We'll always love that movie. And the soundtrack, the actual soundtrack with the song, the licensed songs as well as the actual score is absolutely amazing. So that was my biggest Hollywood Video memory. Then we get to Circuit City.
I remember that place, too.
Uh-huh.
I actually preferred them over Best Buy.
You know, it's funny. Looking at this picture, I'm like, yep, Circuit City was red and white. Best Buy was blue and yellow. It's like red versus blue all over again before Halo was even a thing.
Pretty much.
And yeah, at the time, back then, Circuit City was top tier. Best Buy was second tier, but the second tier wasn't that bad. But it wasn't Circuit City, because they had everything.
I actually still have a video camera from there. More so just because I don't know what to do with it. I could donate it, but I'm like, at the same time, it was when hard drive recorders was new.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still a little like, I don't know, man. I kind of want to keep it, but I don't need it. So, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I remember the place, though, and I was pretty bummed when they went out of business. Although, they were just as expensive when it came down to it as Best Buy.
Yeah.
And so it really wasn't that big of a deal for me. Like, I was kind of not going to buy much anyway, no matter what it came down to.
Yeah, it was always, and it was so funny. Like, nowadays, it might be a Walmart versus Target price war, as far as, like, getting the same product at either store, and one having a better price over the other. Circuit City and Best Buy did that all the time, with, like, you know, you could get, let's just say, 1994, well, 95, technically, is probably when the VHS or whatever came, like, Forrest Gump. You go to Circuit City, Forrest Gump would be $14.95. You go to Best Buy, it'd be $9.99 or something. Or like, whichever one had the better deal, that's usually where you were buying stuff at. We have, now I remember this store as two different things because they actually bought out a different chain that isn't even listed in these photos, but Sam Goody Music Store. Sam Goody used to be, or they used to, before they bought them out completely, there was also a store called Musicland, and Sam Goody eventually bought them out. But solely music, CDs, vinyl, cassettes, 8-tracks. I don't know if they had 8-tracks or not. I'm just listing every listenable version of music we had from the 80s to now, 70s to now. But yeah, Sam Goody was, and you want to talk about expensive. Oh my God. Some of the CDs at this store, holy crap. $20 for a CD. Like,
yeah, we had a place called Record Town.
Yep.
And they were bought up by FYE.
Yep. Everything's bought up by FYE now. Then, yeah.
Like, but the prices always stayed roughly about the same. I mean, Sam Goody looks pretty much like FYE.
Yeah.
They were all of them were always overpriced.
Oh yeah. But it was like a kind of a rite of passage, though, because back then in the 90s, you could get singles. You didn't have to buy the full out. Like, if you only wanted the one song, you could actually buy CD or cassette singles kind of thing. I remember CD singles being more of a thing than cassette singles, but, and they weren't, like, I don't remember the actual price. I'm just going to say $5, maybe $10. If the full album's $20, they have to be lower than that for those, but that was always so cool to me to see what new singles from whatever artists I liked at the time for Sam Goody. And then the bookstore to end all bookstores, Walden Books. Again, cultural icon, the ultimate bookstore. Like, I know we have Books a Million now. I'll also lump Borders in here as well, because Borders has kind of replaced Walden Books over the years, but just going to the mall and going into a Walden bookstore was like me going to my school library. It was like, ooh, I want this, I want this, I want this. It was like, ooh, wow, that's expensive. But it was worth it because you could find every book under the sun at this store.
We had a store, and some may or may not be familiar with it. It was called The Little Professor.
Hmm?
And it was, I remember going to the mall, and it was funny because they used to have comic books there as well as regular books and graphic novels and, you know, whatever. Anyways, that was my favorite place to go just because I enjoyed getting the comic books. I enjoyed going through it. And anyways, I, for Christmas, got gift cards there, or gift certificates back before cards were a thing. And we went to go use it in January, and the store had closed up shop.
Oh, no.
So they took everybody's money and ran.
Yep. That
and they were gone. And so I think it was like $50 or something. And I was like, man. And my mom was like, I'm sorry.
here's $50 cash. No,
yeah. So we ended up going to like Borders or something else that was around. And they didn't have a Walden Books. There was another bookstore that was in the same mall, but it wasn't Walden. I can't remember what it was, but yeah, I mean, I remember going to Borders, and I much preferred Borders over Barnes & Noble.
Oh, Barnes & Noble. I've never liked Barnes & Noble. I hate
Barnes & Noble. Not only the layout of it, it's always way too difficult for me to find anything in Barnes & Noble. When it was Borders, I always could find what I wanted quickly, and I didn't need to ask somebody. I didn't need to get on a computer. I could just find it. It's still the same case with Barnes & Noble. The only reason I think that they're still around is because Amazon partnered with them long ago.
Yep.
And so they're kind of an extension of the in-person version of that bookstore from Amazon.com.
That, and they also, every once in a while now, not so much as they used to, but they will have various Funko Pop exclusives.
Well, they do sell toys. Yeah. They do have a huge kids section. They have a read-along thing for kids on, like, Saturdays. They do have a coffee shop. So, I mean, they've got all these major advantages going for them, which is why they're still around. Although I know that they did shutter some locations a few years back just because they were hurting. But I know Borders, like, I missed Borders.
Yeah, Borders was cool.
B. Dalton was the other one. That's in this. B. Dalton was the one that my mom used to take me to as a kid.
Oh, okay.
And I loved that store. So I used to get magazines and I used to get the books. And I used to shop in there quite frequently. I didn't realize that they're not around anymore.
It's interesting. The version of B. Dalton that we had was in Louisville was Howley Cook Booksellers, so HAWLEYCOOKE, Howley Cook Booksellers, and I was so mad, because Borders came in, bought them out, and took over. Now, I would prefer, I mean, Borders is great, I prefer Walden, like, when I think of a bookstore in a mall, I think Walden Books. When I think of a bookstore just like in a random like shopping center or something, yeah, sure, Borders is there and that's great and Borders is fun. But, damn. And then we got the good old classic remote control car store. We got Radio Shack, all the electronics you could ever want.
Yeah, I remember Radio Shack.
Nope.
I used to go there mostly to get remote control race cars.
Yep.
I didn't go there for really anything else.
Yeah, I think that's probably the adults in our lives were going there for various electronic parts or things like that. Like I know several adults back in the 90s that would go there to get various things and do various things with electronics and things like that. But yeah, for us as kids, it was all for race cars.
Yeah, my family used to go there and get cell phones and cell phone plans. Back before they had like a Verizon store or AT&T store or things like that. We used to sign up there, and I remember the crap that they used to have to go through, you know, to try and get that all going.
Yep. And then I only ever knew this as a New England store. I don't think it's been anywhere else. I could be wrong. It's obviously out of business now. But Service Merchandise. Oh, my God. My mom would shop at Service Merchandise all the time. She's like, you want a deal? Go to Service Merchandise. I'm like, okay, Mom, let's go.
That's like going to Ross today.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Tower Records, we've kind of already talked about music stuff. And Ames, I remember Ames, but weren't they kind of like Kmart?
It sounds familiar. It looks like a Kmart, though.
Yeah, they kind of, yeah. And then Woolworths. Oh, my God, Woolworths.
do you remember, I remember Mervin's department store. I remember Payless Shoes was, like, the staple of every mall.
Yep.
It's funny that they're all gone now.
Kind of sad.
They always had BOGO.
Yep.
Always had
the buy one, get one. Yep.
I've never, one that I was always curious about, I remember reading it, like seeing it in comics and old magazines, but I never actually visited one, CompUSA.
Really? I visited one once, I think. It was like Radio Shack, but all computers.
I always wanted to go. I used to go to computer shows with my dad. We used to go to like they would have like rent out like the conference rooms of hotels or like sports arenas. They'd rent out the top part of the walk around the entire, you know, center part and have computer shows. And my dad used to take me every weekend. They used to have a different one on Saturdays or Sundays, depending. Sometimes you could hit two in the same weekend, sometimes not. But we used to go all the time. I used to get floppy disks of games and CDs, and yeah, it was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And then along in with all the other music and movie stores and everything else, the ultimate movie store in the mall, Suncoast Motion Picture Company. This was a movie paradise for the mall babies. It just really was. It was, they were all about movies.
I've never seen it, but I wished I had.
Yeah, it was awesome. And then, you know, Big K. You got the big old Kmart. Oh, God.
I remember when they went Big K, and I was like, I loathed Kmart as a teenager. I hated that place as a teenager. And then, but looking back, they had great prices.
They had great prices.
I could always find, like, I always wear like the same pair of blue jeans, like doesn't matter. Like I wear the same brand, same type, always have since I was a teenager. So, but Kmart always had them and they were always cheaper than everybody else. Now I have to spend a fortune to get them on Amazon because I can't find them in the store. Which sucks. Cause all the stores that carried it went out of business.
Yep.
Kmart, Sears, JCPenney. Yeah,
that's the funny thing, because we cycled through all these images before the show, folks. We were planning this. That's the only store that's not in here.
As far as like it's the funny ones that, well,
JCPenney, yeah, are they still in business?
They are, but it's limited. Like they're very minute amounts of stores remaining. So like technically, by that caliber, Toys R Us should still be on off this list.
Yeah, but I mean, the actual went out of business stores. They're still
around.
They're still in Canada, but the actual stores here in the U.S. are closed because they're relegated to a corner of a Macy's. And I'm sorry, Macy's is.
Mm-mm. Well, you know that. What was it? Was it KB Toys? KB Toys tried to come back and be a kiosk in
Walmart.
Kroger stores.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my God.
And I don't remember whatever happened to that, but I would love to find out.
Yeah, I remember because I worked there for about 4 months. I remember Kroger back in 2000 and earlier, they had a video department in their stores.
To work for Meijer department stores, which I believe you have in Indiana.
Yep, we do.
They're in Ohio as well as parts of Illinois, Indiana, and then Michigan.
Also, there's like one or two in Kentucky too. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's funny cause I got to go and do service work at various locations. But I used to also work for Meijer, not just as a contractor, company that worked in Meijer. Yeah, I liked they used to have a video game section too, or electronics section, and then they eventually had to have it so that they had you like checked before you left the area.
Yep.
Because theft and everything else.
Yep.
But the toys were it. Like then they had jewelry, then they had some outdoor stuff, and then they had toys. And like that was like their formula for going through. Like my kids, because we're supposed to go back to Michigan soon. Yep. They're like, are we going to go to Meijer? Are we going to go look at toys? And we're like, dude, we're flying on Frontier. it's like you got your duffel bag with clothes and you get to sit in a lawn chair on the way over and then hope that you don't hit turbulence to fly out of your seat. Like it's mm-hmm. it's like, dude, there's no room for anything in your bag. Now, don't get me wrong. Like part of me is like, well, you know, I could buy a luggage and, you know, ship some extra crap if I find it at a good deal. But, you know, at the same time, I'm like, I'm probably not going to Meijer.
And no.
Since I've discovered that, like, Ross stores around here, you know, carry discounted stuff.
Yep. So the funniest thing, I think, was it last year, maybe? It was either 20, yeah, it was. I think it was 2023. Again, it's me, folks. I'm going to find a way to bring it back to Funko at some point or another. Funko puts out all these exclusives from various stores. Walmart, Target, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, whatever. Well, everybody under the sun never thought they would make a Fairly Odd Parents Funko Pop set with Timmy, Wanda, and Cosmo. They did a 3-pack. It was a Meijer store exclusive. Everybody I know that I hang out with in our Funko stuff, in the Funko community stuff, they're like, Meijer stores, what the hell are those and where are they? I'm like, they're here in the Midwest. Crazy. But yeah, Kmart, I don't know. It just, every time I went into a Kmart, even at their height, the electronics department was always just
meh.
And then
they were always mediocre, and it was understaffed, and it was like if you needed something, you had to wait forever for somebody to show up, and then they were very picked over or just didn't order stuff. It always looked like a rundown, like you're going into it always reminded me of going into Big Lots.
But at least,
like, all right, here's the $5 discount bin. You know, it's but like, at least, but at least behind Big glass.
Lots, but at least Big Lots actually has stuff. I mean, like, sometimes you go into a Kmart shelves, it was like, it snowed, folks. It didn't fucking snow at all. What are you talking about? There's no snow on the ground. Like, you know, but like that's what came again at their height, at their peak. I'm not talking about when they went out of business.
Yeah.
And the toy section at Kmart was just depressing.
Oh yeah, totally.
I could get better toys at Dollar Tree than I could at Kmart. All right. Sears Roebuck. Sears was, there wasn't nothing like the Sears Wish Book every friggin' Christmas. Oh man. Yeah, there's all kinds of clothes and other stuff in there, but you flip to that toy section and that giant wish book from Sears, holy crap, that was amazing. They always had, they had everything in Sears. Clothing, electronics, home appliances. Sears was amazing.
Yeah, I remember going to Sears. They used to be like two stories, and you'd be lucky if they carried everything.
Yep. But when they did have the stuff you wanted, and Sears, I think, and again, I would have to look this up, folks, and I'm sorry, I'm not doing research tonight. I'm trying not to type and mouse click and all that, but one point or another, I think they were exclusive for Black and Decker tools or a different tool brand. Like you could only
Sears had Craftsman.
That's what it was. Sears, yeah. That's what it was.
And then after they went under, Lowe's bought the brand.
Lowe's bought the brand. That's what it is. Yeah.
So
Sears, yeah, Craftsman, that was the
main.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, those were the main draw. I still have a Craftsman weed whacker and lawnmower.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Retro.
The weed whacker, I bought online. So I'm pretty sure it was owned by Lowe's by that point, but the lawnmower for sure was bought at Sears because I had to have it serviced at Sears back when it was, you know, and I bought it in 2015.
Oh.
This thing still runs. I mean, I've been doing maintenance on it too by myself, but
yeah.
I mean, they're like a tank.
Yeah.
Like Craftsman brand just lasts. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, brands, like, we could do a whole separate episode on brands that were built to last. Brands today, they don't last all that much anymore.
Yeah, look at Transformers. They don't last. Wow. They fall apart.
He just went down the low road, folks, and he's farting all the way.
Yeah. Hey, they got what they deserved.
So you mentioned and I'm not going to say this about Transformers, I'm going to say about Power. You mentioned the Megazord earlier and some of the paint apps on some of the Hasbro versions. I'm like, yeah, I can look at three different versions of the Funko Pop of the Megazord itself, and it has better paint apps.
I mean, I'll give you that. I mean, like, Hasbro, as much as I love what they do,
yeah,
they cut corners way too much. And I love the product.
Mm-hmm.
I hate the cheap side of them.
Yep.
Like or they go and this is the sad thing that I'm not wishing them ill will because like I do like the brands that they own.
Yeah.
And I do know that they're kind of pivoting to letting other people take the risk of making the figures, like Super 7 and, you know, the retro figures or McFarlane or whomever. You know, I absolutely hate that they're doing this, but it seems like Hasbro doesn't want to make toys. And it seems like they also, when they do make them, they either cut corners, release one version of it, re-spit it out later with premium to get you to double dip because you don't know on the initial release that they're going to do that. And then they come out with a better version later that, you know, and then you're like, well, I already have these, or they come out with a repaint or I mean, for the most part, the Ranger toys specifically are rinse repeat, unless it's like the belt and the helmet.
Yep. Yeah.
Like the bodies themselves are all like rinse repeat. The little accessories are not. The heads are not, like the Transformers, they have too many size classes and too many price points.
Yeah.
So I feel like it screws them royally. It's like pick four and stick with that and then do them well and stop wasting the plastic. Like, and then the movie toys don't go anywhere anymore. Like every one of my Walmarts has the same Rise of the Beasts, Earth Spark, like all of those toys are still shelf warming. And all of the Studio Series stuff, like everything that came out in 2023 is still on the shelves. Well, there's figures still from 2022 that are on the shelves. And it's because one, they're either priced too bad or they're cheap or nobody wants any of it.
Okay, so the fact that there are still 2022 figures on the shelves, that's really bad. It hasn't even been a full month here in 2024. So, I mean,
I haven't seen anything new, like nothing. I frequent it every time I go in because I'm like, I'm just curious if something new shows up.
Well, and you've said before on this show in HETF, you're where you work, you're like spitting distance 20 minutes or less from Walmarts.
And the thing is like, if I'm already in the area and I'm heading back, I'll take a 5-minute detour, walk in, check it out, and then leave. And then I'm like, so in total, it's like 10 minutes detour, but like, and I don't do it often. And I typically just wait till I'm on lunch, but But I mean, like, I've hit up, I mean, there's at least one by every location that we've got, pretty much. Jeez. or by most locations that we've got. So I mean, or like, I'm literally driving down the same street, so I can literally hit six of them here in the Colorado area, and I can hit like, I hit one when I'm in Wyoming, but
wow.
So like, I can hit all of those. Like, I used to hit like Targets and stuff, but I just don't go in there anymore. Plus, they never stock and they're terrible. I have many reasons for not going to there, but yeah, I mean, so, I feel bad for Hasbro, but I feel like they're eventually going to end up on this list if they don't course correct.
Yeah.
And I, again, like I said, I hate to see that happen, but it seems like they don't really know what to do. And like Playmates, to be honest, I'm surprised they're still around.
Yeah.
They have like the new Ninja Turtles toys that came out, and then they were doing the retro turtle toys, which, don't get me wrong, I really like, but I have no ambition to pick them up again. Like, I used to own literally every Ninja Turtle toy that was out from the 80s through the mid 90s.
Yep.
Like all the accessories, all the bases, everything.
Yep.
And I got rid of it all at some point, and then have no ambition for any of that. And then they started getting back with Star Trek, and they never sold well, but they feel like because they didn't have a big enough variations. Like, they had TNG and then the original series films, and they had like Kirk, Spock, and Khan for the Wrath of Khan, and then they had Picard, Data, and Riker. And they weren't even, like, they were new renditions, new sculpts and everything. Mm-hmm. Not the original stuff, but they just, I have, and maybe one of these days I'll do this on Kai's stream or something, or whatever. I have the original, like, Generations Captain Kirk in the movie uniform.
Yeah.
And I have the one that came out from Playmates recently over the last, like, 2 years. The one that came out recently is a far, far inferior toy. Like, it feels cheap. It is cheap. Like, it's very wobbly. I mean, it's got more articulation than the old stuff, which is nice.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got, like, elbow bends and stuff like that, and knee bends, and, you know, different swivels and stuff that the old stuff didn't have, which is nice, but they didn't the old ones had like a glossy look to them. Mm-hmm. And the new ones don't. They look like rubbery cheap plastic. Like, that's what they look like. So I was comparing the two, and I'm like, man, I mean, if it weren't for the fact I got it discounted, like on like clearance, I probably wouldn't have bought it. And so like when I saw the starships coming out, like the Enterprise, I had the original one, and I was looking at the differences, and it's smaller a little bit. And it was a nice toy, but I was kind of like on the fence about it. And it's like the Communicator and the Enterprise D, like those just came out like a couple months ago. And I was really eyeing both of them because I have the original Communicator from the 90s. I had to go on pre-order at Toys R Us, oddly enough, to get it. And I saw it at Target like a while ago. And I'm like, well, I still have my original one. It just doesn't work.
Like,
but I have no ambition to pick up the same thing all over again. I thought maybe they would at least, you know, update it somewhat. But I'm like, and it costs the same amount the original one did, because I remember the original cost like $25. The new one cost $25. So it's, you know, it's very, you know, inflation friendly. And that's the thing about Playmates. They've seemed to keep their stuff the original pricing somehow. And I don't know how, but... And then they came out with the Enterprise D, but the only spin they put on this one, though, is they gave it a saucer separation, but then they skimped on all of the paint. So I was like, at least they got the nacelle colors correct this time, because the original one was supposed to have blue, and those old ones had like a teal green. And I was right. Like, well, that's not right. And it used to irritate me as a kid, because I'm like, they're supposed to be blue. They're supposed to be blue. You know, the OCD kid in me was just flipping out. And so now, like, I look at the new one, I'm like, well, they got the back half of the ship correct, but the saucer looks out of whack. Yep. And
maybe Maybe they, and I'm like, maybe they misaligned it when they tried to put it back together.
Something like, I don't know, but I mean, they're $40, and I'm like,
oh,
so I'm like, let me get this straight. I mean, I'm waiting for it to hit clearance, but Target never clearances stuff. And if Walmart had carried it, it would have gone on clearance. But Walmart, the Star Trek figures and ships did so badly at Walmart, they clearanced them off and they just didn't order the new stock.
Yep.
So Playmates actually cut the Trek figure line and are just keeping the ships and the accessories, which is, I mean, really the main draw for their stuff.
Yeah.
And occasionally I'll go to like a thrift shop or I'll go to like a comic shop or something and I'll see some of the old Playmates Star Trek figures. Like I picked up Scotty from The Next Generation. Like I saw him at a thrift shop for like $5
right.
6 months ago and I was like, oh, okay. And so I picked him up and, you know, I mean, so I like what some of these companies are doing. I feel like we're hitting this weird point in geekdom where people are having to pick and choose and they're like, do I need this? Do I not need it? Is it good quality? Is it bad quality? Is it, you know, is what's the draw? What's the reason? And I feel like third parties are doing much better than the official stuff.
Some of them are, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, TransArt with Transformers, you know, knockoff Power Ranger Megazords, you know, Hasbro underproducing the Master Morpher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's funny, you know, you mentioned that Hasbro has too many lines, or Transformers specifically has too many sublines or too many size classes and things like that. It's like, it's not the same thing with Funko, but if you want a certain Funko Pop character, unless it's just the plain old common of the, you know, the whatever plastic figure that they make, they do glow in the dark. They do flocked for a lot of animal character stuff. They have black light. They have metallic. They have this. They have that. And for me, like you were saying earlier about picking and choosing, like, you ever watch the original 2000s Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Monsters with Kaiba and Yugi and all them?
No.
All right, well, anyway, there's a character in there. It's a cute little cuddly character named Karibo. And I knew once they announced this wave for Funko Pops, I'm like, okay, well, I need to wait and see if they release a flocked version of Karibo. That's the only one I need. That's the one I have in my hand as I'm sitting here, you know, gesturing towards the camera that isn't even on, kind of thing, because that's apparently how I roll now when podcasting. But, like, that's the only version of that character that I need, and I can make that choice, and I'm fine with it, and it's okay. I don't need every single version of anything anymore. I just never really have had that mentality. Like you said, just pick the best version, go with that. The best version at the time that it, you know, that's available. And toys have come so far in the last 40, 50, 60 years.
So yeah, for sure. Like, I, looking back at the original G1 figures and looking at what they come up with now, now, granted, they have some versions where they cut corners, so like looking at like 90s Beast Wars, for instance, you had Vac Metal.
Yep.
And the stuff that comes out now doesn't have it, and so it just looks cheaper, even though it's not. Like, the design could be great, like Power of the Primes Optimal Optimus or Transmetal 2 Legacy, you know, Megatron, other than the face where they went for, and that's the other thing, like, I hate where they go stylized with stuff. It's like, just give me the exact thing, like, pretend it came out of the screen and do that. Don't give me a stylized version, like, and even Power of the Primes Optimal did that, like, with his chest piece, or like having Primal turn into his backpack or whatever, or like Legacy Transmetal 2 Megatron, like, looks good overall, except for the face sculpt looks like crap. And then they went some other directions with some of the stuff and tried to get gimmicky with it. And it's like, no, just leave it. That's why a third party company took the same design and blew it up bigger and then gave all of the options and then gave it a proper paint job, which Hasbro couldn't be bothered to do. That's why I get like TransArt figures, or, you know,
Yeah.
Stuff where there's actual effort put in, or I paint it myself, like the Half the Kingdom and Legacy line.
Yeah, you've been doing a lot of repainting or adding paints to things that don't have paint, which is awesome because you do such a great job of it.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. That's and right. Printing a stasis pod and, you know, stuff like that. Now, my Rangers, I don't plan on painting any of them. Same thing with Star Trek, unless it's a ship I print or a model kit or something. But yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying it, but at the same time, like, I feel like for the cost, I should get a better quality product.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, you know, say what you will about inflation over these last 40 years, but like, man, like, some, like, nope. That's why I don't, like I said, I can pick and choose characters from Funko, and 90% of the paint apps are there. You know, like, I very rarely have paint app issues with Funko Pops, so.
Well, and then, like I said, like Power Rangers or Beast Wars or Transformers, yeah. There's a lot of figures I would like to have, a lot of characters I would like to have, but at the same time, I'm like, I only have limited space, limited funds. Yep. Like, I don't need all of these. Like, I don't need any of them, but I don't need certain characters. Like, I like the characters. I want the characters. Like, I wanted, you know, like a Voyager Ironhide, or, you know, like the new Snarl figure, or, you know, the Legacy or the core class Energon Megatron, or, you know, some of those various, like, rather niche or, you know, specially designed characters, or like the Power Rangers, like where I'm like, oh, I'd like to complete like maybe the MMPR or Zeo line or something, one or the other or something with the characters. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't need all of them. I don't care enough about all of them. It's like I have certain Ranger colors that I resonated with as a kid.
Yeah.
It's like, I have no reason to care. Like, I'm a male. I don't care about having figures of the Yellow Rangers or the Pink Rangers, because, I mean, they're female-centric characters. Or, like, I don't, like, need both copies of, like, the Black Ranger or the Red Ranger, or the various ones where they change head, you know. Yeah. Basically change the head and the suit every time. Yep. Like, I don't need multiples of certain characters to just fill that role. And so, like, I'm being very, very selective. Like, I'm Jason David Frank stuff first, and then, like,
everything else.
My runners up. Basically, if they cameoed in another series or a season of something, you know, like Adam Park or, you know, Jason Lee Scott or stuff like that, like those two, like, it's like, okay, those resonate with me, those I care about, like, I'll do those. But like, outside of that, I'm not trying to get any more involved than necessary.
Yeah. So for me, I have more than that, but out of the Rangers, I have 8 Funko Pop Power Rangers. One is Lord Draken, because it's Evil Tommy Lord Draken with the Dragon Zord and the Dragon Dagger, and it's Tommy. And the other ones that I have the Ranger Slayer from the comics, so, because she was a character, it was Kimberly in the comics. And then they released for the 30th anniversary, I think. There's no sticker on that, so I don't know. They released all the other Rangers, red, yellow, blue, black, green, pink, with the weapons in their hands. So if you look at the original 5 Rangers, Jason, Billy, Zach, Trini, Kimberly, I always love the scene where, you know, they're combining the weapons to build the power blaster. So I'm set for main core 5 Rangers. I have them with their weapons. That's all I need. I don't need any other versions of those characters in Funko Pop form. My Tommy, my Green Ranger Tommy, has the Dragon Dagger. I'm good with that. There's a new version of the White Ranger coming out. I think it's out in Europe now. it hasn't hit here in the States where it's a 30th anniversary where it's Tommy holding Saba in a different way. So once I have that, I'm pretty much set when it comes to Power Rangers stuff for Funko.
Rangers, the time is right to bring these weapons together. Your team must act together. That's one.
You heard it, guys. Let's do it.
Right.
Perfect.
So, like, I'm not gonna lie, I like the 3-0 stuff, but they're stupid expensive.
Yeah,
they're like $100 to $150 a piece, and it's like, okay, so they're full detail. They look more like the show. They've got the glossy finish. They've got all the accessories. I like it. It kind of reminds me of the old 90s G.I. Joes with like the, you know, the posable costumed versions and stuff. It kind of reminds me of that. But I, at the same time, I'm like, yeah, I'd love to have the Green Ranger or the White Ranger of one of those. And then they're coming out with the Zeo Rangers now. And I'd like to have, you know, the Red Zeo Ranger and stuff like that. But I'm like, 400.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, $400 for all those. It's like, or I can use half of that and I can get all of his forms.
Yep.
In a Lightning collection, you know.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And,
or even less, like, I technically I could get Tiger Zord, like the original Bandai Tiger Zord, except for the fact that one, most of them are incomplete. Yeah. You can get it for like $20. And so, I mean, I could print probably the stuff that is missing. Yep. But at the same time, I'm like, it's not that great a detail. And if Hasbro ever resurrects the line, you know that it's going to get to the Thunder Zords next.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, do I wait? Probably. Because by the time I like pull the trigger on something, and this is seems to be what Hasbro does with things. After I pull the trigger, that's when they go on discount. That's when they, you know, or that's when they come out with a new one. And it's like, I'll wait.
Yeah, that's where they get you.
Yeah, so like, you know, I do want the Tiger Zord. I don't care about the, you know, the other Zords. I thought about getting like the Red Battleizer from Zeo and, you know, the Dragon Zord. But like the Tiger Zord is the one that resonated with me more out of those. But I, again, like the Dino Megazord is the one that really hits home. And that's the only one I was like, I'll make the exception for one Zord.
Yeah. The only ones that I have, like at some point I want to go back and look at the Dragon Zord Funko Pop, but Tiger Zord, and they have not done yet. And I don't think they ever will, but I remember when the movie hit on nearly 30 years... Oh, man, that movie is 29 years? Yeah, because next year in 2025 is the 30th anniversary of MMPR, the movie. Falcon Zord... Oh, man, I had the original Falcon Zord toy. I was
15. I never did.
Oh, man, that thing was so
I had
badass.
The Ninja Megazord, though.
Oh, I didn't care about the Ninja Man. I like the Zords individually from that movie, but that Ninja Megazord, I never cared for the robot design on that. I like the way the cockpit looks with them all together, but
yeah, I liked it. I hated the movie design compared to the TV show, because the movie looked kind of goofy CGI, and the TV show looked more like the toy.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Falcon Zord, I would love to get my hands on that too, but
that would be so cool. Love that.
Somebody actually had a, I saw online, somebody kitbashed or made a 3D print. I'll have to send it to you. All of Tommy's Megazords mixed.
Oh, wow.
Not from like Dino Thunder or Turbo, but yeah, they had the Dragon Zord mixed with the Tiger Zord mixed with the Falcon Zord. And I was like, okay, that's kind of cool.
That and again, what I loved about having that toy back then was just And the scene at the end when they corner the bot in down the alley, and you have Tommy coming in with the wings of the Falcon Zord going in because he's firing rockets. Oh God, that's the only reason why I loved having that toy, was to recreate that scene in toy form, and it was amazing.
Well, Tommy always had the best Zords until Turbo, because like Zeo, even he had the red Battleizer with the punching fist thing. So he it's funny because he always had like the individual Zord that could just hold its own without help. So like Dragon Zord and the Tiger Zord were kind of that, and then Falcon Zord like was that too, especially in like Dimensions of In Danger.
Yep.
So yeah, I sent you a link to the 3D print somebody made. There's no way I'd make this because it would cost a fortune to print, but I love the design.
Yeah, that is super cool. Yeah, very, very awesome. Yeah,
I don't know. Like I have a like of the Zords, but I think that boils down to like the Transformers fan in me, because a lot of them still transform from something to something else.
Oh wow, that is, yeah, I'm looking at this and, holy crap, that's awesome.
Yeah, somebody managed to mix all three Zords, and I was like, okay, this is pretty spectacular.
Yeah, pretty badass. Absolutely, that's awesome. All right, anything else we want to bring up?
No, I think that's about it. Like, I'm just excited for some of the geeky things to come this year, and then hoping for some interesting things that we can talk about in the near future.
Yep. I think we announced this at the end of last year, so we'll say it again here, folks. There's going to be an Altered Trek this year at GCRN, and we are going to go through all the Star Trek stuff, starting with TNG, and Captain Picard was right. There are going to be better, more interesting adventures past the encounter at Farpoint. Oh my God.
Yeah, season one is difficult to watch.
And again, I remember it as a kid. I was 7 years old when season one started. So I remember, and we'll get into all this when we eventually record Altered Trek, but like, I remember watching and liking what I saw. I just have, it's one of the reasons why we do the podcast that we do, folks. One of us is a quote unquote expert in something, and the other one may have never have seen it or something. And that's kind of, you know, Steve's the Star Trek guy, and I like Star Trek. I like various things in Star Trek. I'm just not fully immersed in the world, and I'm like, ooh, I'd like to revisit that. So we're gonna go through all that, and I'm, as of this recording, in the middle of watching season one for our future recording of that. I'm looking forward to whatever 2024 is gonna bring us as well. So
ditto.
Wanna send us out?
Yep. So thank you for listening to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and you can find me on Twitter at SCP21. You can find Mike at TFG1 Mike.
That's
and
right.
Yep. You can get a hold of us on the Facebooks, on the website. You can get a hold of us by email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. And as always, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.